Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm well, Kevin. Thank you. Good morning to you.
It's good to be with you. But before we start in on this, I just want to acknowledge that you came out of last week. You took your prayer retreat. And I'm just going to sit here on behalf of other people and say thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, you're so welcome.
That means a lot to us. And it's an example to us. So just thank you. And for those of you who don't know, what Richard does is once a year, he will take a time. How long is it? A full day?
It's 3 full days.
3 full days. Okay. 3 full days. And he gets a long list of prayer requests from the church. And he prays through every single one of them. And you can talk more about it. I know you do. Often refer back to that and share with the congregation some of that experience. But just thank you, Richard, for doing that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now you're going to take on a question. And the question is the earth, is this present reality the realm of the dead, i.e. Sheol or Hades? That's referenced in Scripture, and you're going to talk about that. What about that? What's behind this question?
Well,
what do you think's going on here?
You know, we should, you know, clue in the listener here. Usually I come into this studio and I have not seen a question. And, you know, you sit down there and say, here's your question.
Here you go.
So it's like, you know, stump the chump here and stump the pastor. You did give me this question and I was pondering it this morning. Because and this person wrote very detailed, it was a lengthy question, and you've summarized maybe one-tenth of what they wrote. I really appreciate the depth. This person dove into Scripture and is trying to understand what is the realm of the dead. The Old Testament speaks of Sheol, and that's the place of the departed. The New Testament word is Hades. And throughout the Scripture, it's sometimes hard to, okay, what exactly is being spoken here? Because sometimes it looks like Sheol or Hades is a place of persecution or punishment. And in a sense, it is for the ungodly. So, you know, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man's in Hades, and he's in pain there. But Hades and Sheol, sometimes it's interpreted the grave, and righteous people, godly people, are not in torment in the grave. The concept is of resting. So, you know, Job speaks of, you know, wanting to rest in his grave. There is this interesting distinction in the Scripture between what happens to an ungodly person and a godly person. One seems to be Hades, Sheol seems to be torment for the ungodly, and rest for the people of God. The NIV also translates Sheol or Hades as the realm of the dead. And so the question here is, well, aren't we all dead? And so isn't the earth currently, as we're walking on it, could it not be considered the realm of the dead? The language perhaps is a little imprecise in that. You know, David in the Psalms, and you know, just reference Psalm 27:3 and Psalm 116:9, speaks about the land of the living. And so there really is a distinction between the land of the living and the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead in Scripture, the understanding is that it is the place where a person goes when they physically die, and they're awaiting. Everybody is awaiting the second or the resurrection from the dead, some to eternal life with God and some to everlasting punishment. Revelation speaks a number of times about the second death. And I want to come back to that in a moment, but the second death is the lake of fire, in which hell, Hades, and death are thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, which is eternal separation from God. But this question of aren't we living in the realm of the dead? I mean, yes, in a sense, in a spiritual sense. And so we go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. God says to Adam, in the day you eat of this one tree that I've forbidden you to eat the fruit of, in the day you eat of it, the Hebrew literally is dying, you will die. And it's this, it's emphatic way of stating you're going to die. Well, Adam and Eve do eat of the tree, and the weirdest thing happens, they don't die physically. Yeah. But they do die spiritually. That was the death of humanity in that act. And, you know, the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of, well, in Adam all die. So Adam as our federal head, our representative, Adam and Eve die and all their children are born dead spiritually. Well, what is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is separation from fellowship with God, our creator. And in that day they died, and the, what then happened was they were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of God's presence. That's the consequence of sin. It's death. It's spiritual death. And its consequences. And so the consequences, you know, for Adam and Eve, first of all, they knew they were naked. They knew there's something wrong with me. And, you know, the ad boys today, you know, that's how they make their trade. There's something wrong with you, and you need our product to fix yourself. But we know something fundamentally is wrong with us. Well, that's one of the consequences of spiritual death. We also begin the blame game. We blame other people for, we won't own responsibility. And so, you know, the nations at war, marriages that disintegrate, just the squabbles we have with one another, all of that is a consequence of the spiritual death that we're living with. Certainly our broken relationship with God, we are now blind to spiritual truth. We do not have the life of God in us. And then even the created order, we're at odds with. You know, the earth produces thorns and by the sweat of your brow, and there is also in there, and you will die. The earth will reclaim you. And so we have a physical life, but it's a decaying life. Somebody has said, you know, we've all heard, you know, the day you're born, you start dying. And, you know, there's a truth in that. We will not live forever. And so we do, in a sense, live in this realm of the dead. And I get what they're after. Everybody around us is spiritually dead. Physically, we're still alive, but we're decaying. And in time, it will all wind down. It will all wind down in death. And so, you know, the great miracle. Well, and this person also spoke of Satan, and you know, the Satan is the ruler of this world, and Scripture is very clear. That's one of the other consequences. Satan deceived us, and has now taken us captive. And you know, 2 Timothy 2:26 is something I often pray, you know, that God may grant them repentance, that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil. Mm. Who has captured them. So we are dead captives, spiritually dead captives to the evil one, and we're in bondage there. And so the only way out is for God in his mercy and grace, through the miracle of salvation, to rescue us. And so, you know, we have these, you know, Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And that's very precise language. You were dead. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I'm alive. I'm eating. I drink. You know, I run. I do this and that. How can you say I'm dead? Spiritually, we're dead to God. And then, you know, a great passage is Colossians 2, 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He canceled the record of debt that stood against us, nailing it to the cross. So only in Jesus and faith in Christ does that miracle of salvation, the miracle of eternal life, take place. And so really kind of bizarre, who are the living people in this world? Well, we all begin as spiritual dead people walking around, but we're dead spiritually. But now there's a group of people in the world who are alive spiritually, and those are the followers of Jesus. This is not a thing of boasting. It's a thing of absolute humility, because it's a work of God, not of us. And apart from God working in us, we would be dead spiritually, and in time, dead completely, separated from him physically and spiritually. And so, the concept is correct, that this world is the realm of the spiritual dead, but it is a living world, physical living world, but a world in decay. And so that's where the language of Sheol, Hades, realm of the dead comes in, that when the Bible speaks of that, uses that language, it's speaking of somebody who has then physically passed away. Spiritually, yep, we're gone from the beginning, but now physically, they've died, and that's the realm they enter. Some will rise to eternal death, the second death. Some will rise to eternal life, those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm trying to think, how do we put a practical application to this? And I think there's a challenge and a comfort in this. And the challenge is this, that when we look around at our fellow human beings, if we're in Christ, we are looking over a landscape in a way what Ezekiel saw of dead men's bones. We are all spiritually dead, and that is a dangerous place to be. And I don't think we live in panic, but I think we are to live with the challenge that there's a mission of God that's been given to us, and that is to preach the good news of eternal life to all creation. Mm. And so no matter where I am, if I'm in a hospital sickbed, if I'm a missionary in Japan, if I'm a kid in school, if I'm retired, if I'm, going through some struggle, no matter where I am, if I'm in Christ, I represent the life of God that's available. And, the challenge is, Lord, where are you calling me to preach the gospel, to proclaim life and salvation through Jesus Christ? And so I think, the reality that we live in a world where we're all spiritually dead apart from Christ, I need to be attentive. What is God doing here? Who's he bringing alive? How is he going to use me? And not to live a passive life of just me-centered, how can I get my fill and my thrills and get on with my life? Jesus Christ came into this realm of spiritual dead in order to make a difference, and that is to bring salvation to the dead. And we are to join him in that. And so, we pray for the lost. We look for ways. Is God opening a door here that I may speak, and God may use me to bring the news of life? And so there's the challenge there to be sober and attentive to God and to people around us. But the other is the comfort. And it's a grace comfort that I have the life of God in me is not for patting me on the back, because I didn't accomplish this. It's a grace gift to me. God in his mercy and kindness has brought me alive in Jesus Christ. And so you have verses in the book of Revelation, Revelation 26, blessed and holy are those in the second resurrection, or in the resurrection from the dead, and the second death will have no power over them. And this is for those who are in Christ. So we may face a horrible death, perhaps in this physical realm, cancer, where just terrible tragedy may hit us. But for the Christian, there's a far worse death, and that's that second death. And it has no power over us. That's a huge comfort. Revelation 2:11, he who overcomes, and the overcomers are those who stay true to Jesus, they will not be hurt at all by the second death. So that's it's a huge comfort. And maybe it's also, a challenge, a comfort, but it gives us courage. I can risk for the kingdom of God, knowing that I may lose my life, but I haven't lost my eternal life. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And someday, when all this comes out in the wash, I will walk truly in the land of the living, beholding the face of my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, not sure where all that goes, but we do currently live in a land of shadows. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's not just physical death that can take us down, but it's the spiritual death all around us. It's consequences we daily deal with, and yet here Jesus has made us alive in Him, and so we've got this incredible message of life in Christ to share and to be comforted with as we go about the struggles of this life.
Well, that is a good word. Will you say a prayer for us?
I will. Father, we are so grateful to you that you have not left us in death. You've not left us separated from you. But Lord, you entered our realm, and Jesus, you took on our death, the penalty we deserved. Lord, you died the second death, as it were, that we deserved, and you were separated from the Father in some mysterious way when you cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Lord, thank you that is a cry we will never know ourselves to the extent that you knew it. But Lord, we will be received into the eternal welcome of the living God and for all eternity because of what Jesus you have done. In Christ's name, amen.